today, and we do thank you for listening in to Agalee. And if you're a member of the congregation, we give you that special word of welcome today. We do trust that as you watch, that you will be blessed. And want to encourage the members of the congregation, if you go to our Facebook page, if you can friend the page there, just for your encouragement, I want to say that during the last month, our Facebook following has increased by 495%, and that is because we've started putting up the messages and so on. And we're reaching a lot of people. The reach has been well over 2,000, nearly 3,000 people, and we do trust that the Lord will use his word, not only to encourage you in the congregation, but it will be a word in season to others without as well. We also invite you to like our messages if you do, and if you don't, well, that's all right. We do thank you for listening anyway. But there's one or two other things I just want to mention. Some people have mentioned how to get their offerings to church. You can contact our treasurer, Alistair, about that. You can either send your check to him, or some are setting up by bank transfer. What I want to say is please do keep your envelope, and then Alistair will obviously be able to work out what you have put in over the period of time of the lockdown, and regarding the gift aid, he will be able to get all of that sorted out. So please do keep your envelope, but if you're in any doubt, do contact the treasurer and he will help you at this time. We also want to remind you that Tuesday evening, again, we hope to have another message up for you, and we also trust that as we gather together around the throne of grace in prayer, that the Lord will draw near to us between 8:30 and 9:30 last Tuesday. Especially, we were very conscious as we met the Lord here that you were meeting in your home as well. And it was a great sense of togetherness as we sought him for the various needs that there were. We do want, of course, to spend a lot of the time in that are praying for the alleviation of all the pressures that the virus is bringing, and for the eradication of the virus itself, that the Lord would step in to the situation in a marked way. Good also to remember our loved ones. These are days when many people are beginning to search and to wonder what their purpose in life is, and many are afraid. And it's good again to spend that time praying for one another's loved ones, and for the ones that we're reaching, that we have reached in former days, and that we believe we have reached in recent times through the ministry of Facebook and also sermon audio. So we're going to pray for that on Tuesday night. I just want to notify the congregation that the father of Dr. Lindsay Wilson, who's our minister in Castledurg, has passed away. Do you remember the Wilson family in your prayers, please? So again, you're very welcome today, and we trust that the Lord will draw near to you as you come to his word now. Could we turn this morning to James chapter 5? James chapter 5. While you're turning there, could I also invite you to come back again tonight when we trust we will have another message up for you. James chapter 5, and in the context, James is talking here about patience. It says in verse 7 of chapter 9 of his book, chapter 5 of his book, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word. Could we just bow together briefly in prayer, please? Father in heaven, we do thank you again today for the written word. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And we pray now that you would take that word that we will bring and use it, Lord, to build up thy people, to strengthen our faith in these days, to help us, Lord, to more and more be focusing upon Christ, upon his person and work. And may our hearts be warmed again this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The words that I want to draw your attention to this morning are found there in verse 11 of James chapter 5, where it says, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job." We were not really shocked when we heard that the current lockdown in Northern Ireland and in other parts of the nation as well was to continue for at least another 3 weeks. And why we were not taken by surprise when we heard that announcement, we still were a little bit disappointed that we're still at that point where the virus is very rife and where it is spreading quite a lot still at this time. And while we were not shocked with the news, it is a little bit unsettling for us to face the fact that we have to be in lockdown for at least another 3 weeks. Some things that perhaps seem to be ordinary things for us, they seem to be of such value now. What we wouldn't give just to be able to go for a day in peace to the coast and to behave even as we did last summer. But we do, of course, understand and support the endeavour to save lives. And yet in the midst of all of that, we have to confess that, again, we have been confronted with our tendency to be impatient. As we think of another 3 weeks and we reflect upon what has already gone by, we sort of think, oh no, this is never going to end. Of course it will end, and normal times will, in a large degree, come to our country again. But as soon as I heard the news that we were going into another 3 weeks of lockdown, I thought of this text in the book of James chapter 5 and verse 11. "Ye have heard of the patience of Job." And I want this morning for a while to look with you at the patience of Job. I'm sure you know a little bit about the experience of this man of God. And that being the case, with many of you, we want to consider, first of all, Job had concern that was deep. Concern that was deep. Now, as you and I reflect upon our own experience, we can all say that there were times when maybe we got frustrated and we even got hot and bothered about things that didn't really matter at all in the long term. And sometimes even our frustration was largely of our own making. And it was not something that we ought to have been, a situation that we ought to have been concerned about at all. But then in the midst of that, real trial has come along to visit us. And we have been sobered up. And we have cast aside our petulance and our frustration. And we've realized that what we're enduring now, whether it is for just a long time or just a little time, or whether it's been for a long time, that we're facing up to real trial in our life and something that is deep. Now, if you look there in the book of James and chapter 1, you see here that James is writing to those who had their lives really turned upside down. Satan's callousness had been displayed. It says there in verse 1, they had been scattered abroad, and they were all over the place. And immediately James, in his speaking to them, he reminds them of their trials. The word temptation, used in the book of James, most of the time it means trial, and that is what he's referring to here. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." Now, this word temptations, or it means trials, and this word is key in the book of James, and key to understanding and unlocking the benefit of the book of James. We all know that trials seldom come on their own, and troubles seldom come on their own. And so it was for the folk that James was writing to here. You see, the book of James is a very business-like book, and yet it's very warm if we read it carefully. And it is also very relevant and very penetrating for our hearts and lives if we read it in the right spirit. Now, in chapter 1, James here is very, very frank with those that he has written to. James, of course, was a realist. There was no health and wealth gospel illusion with him. He faced things as they really were. He did not seek by preaching a health and wealth gospel to lead anyone into a fool's paradise, because he did not preach that kind of gospel. But in that verse that I showed you there, verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The word count is very interesting. It means to lead before your mind, or to make a point of focusing in your mind upon this. And as he says that to them, he recognizes, of course, that they are in deep trials, different kinds of trials through being scattered all over the place. In verse 12 there of the same chapter, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, or endureth trial. And the word endureth there is a very strong word. It is a word that carries the meaning of to bear something without going down or without sinking. Just very recently, I saw one of the last photographs of the great ship, the Titanic, as she went around the Cork area out in the ocean there. And as we looked at the photograph, and she was so substantial, and the thought was in her mind, you know, how did she ever sink? Well, folks, we all knew that she did sink. And she sank suddenly and quite quickly and out of trace. And as I thought of that ship that was apparently one that could not sink, I thought how wrong men can be. But as you and I look to the Word of God, and we consider the patience of Job, it's important to remember that patience goes hand in hand with faith. And James here is writing to these disturbed believers that have been unsettled. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trial. He's referring to that which could so easily bring them down. He's acknowledging that their trial is deep. And deep trial, folks, as we all know, can cause us to go down as far as our morale is concerned, as far as our belief is concerned, as far as our prayer life is concerned, as far as our joy is concerned, as far as our zeal is concerned, and our even as far as our love for the Lord and for others is concerned. Now, if you remember what I've just said there, and think of what the apostle said when he was writing to the church at Corinth, over in 1 Corinthians there, and chapter 10, he's writing to people who, well, in fairness, the people that he refers to are those who'd been delivered from Egypt, and folks that had a whole lot going for them. The Lord had met their every need and provided for them. And yet they murmured, and they caused trouble, and they hurt each other, and they complained. And when Paul was writing to them, he said, after he had enumerated all of the things that, or certainly some of the things that they had done, they had railed on the Lord, they had certainly railed on Moses, they had been very discontent with all that the Lord had done for them. Paul writes in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. And the word admonition there is a word that carries the same meaning as the word count that we looked at over in the book of James. It means to bring before your mind or to consciously focus upon in your mind. You could say even to fill your mind with this thought. Fill your mind with the thought of what they did and how they behaved and how they got it so wrong. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. The Apostle Paul was referring to those who, their concerns very often were due to selfishness, due to personal selfish ambition, due to resentment, due to carnal thinking, and there was really no excuse for the way in which they behaved. But Paul says, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And therefore he said to us all, while their concerns were very, very often unfounded, and they were not deep concerns, you and I could fall into the same situation as them. They were those who were complaining, and they did not seem to have any grounds for complaint. And so we have it today. There are people right now who personally have some very deep trials. Maybe you're one of them. And maybe it's nothing to do with the current pandemic, but in your life there is a deep trial. And you know all about the problems and the worries that that brings. And you think about it most of the time. And for you, it is a concern that was deep. It was just like the concern that Job had. Job's concern, when you read his book, was very, very deep indeed. And you have people today with such great trials. Of course, there are some who have been suffering greatly because of the consequences of the virus that is here right now. They're worried a lot about their family, especially those who are vulnerable. Many worried about their livelihood, and there are others who are worried even about their own mental health as the lockdown continued. But there are others, and certainly there could be others, and they fall into the category where really their concern is not a deep one. Most of us are doing our best to stick to the restrictions that are placed upon us, but really is it a deep concern that we can't go to the coast now for a day? Is it a deep concern that we're not able to gather and have a house party with 30 or 40 people around it? It's something that, folks, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. It's far removed from concern that is deep. Remember what we may have mentioned to you before, that if we complain without cause, we often get cause to complain. But I'm speaking today and knowing that I'm probably speaking to some who genuinely have deep concern. And in your concern, brother or sister, you know the need of patience. This patience that James was talking about, the very first thing that he begins to speak to the people about as he addresses them. He knew the hardship that it brought, their situation brought, and how that would affect their thinking. And they, just like Job, had concern that was deep. Please do not think that you're on your own. If you're a member of our congregation, we're praying for you, and we're sharing in your burden in that way. If we know about your illness, or your problem, or your difficulty, or even an illness in your family circle, we certainly are upholding that need, bringing that need before the Lord continually in prayer. But as we think of the patience of Job, there's not only concern that was deep, that leads us on naturally to another consideration. There was comprehensive despair. Comprehensive despair. Job was in the most unusual situation. Few men are called upon to travel the pathway that he traveled. And Job could only really stand and watch as everything unfolded. You can see the picture there. He lost his farm animals. And what is a farm without animals? And he thought maybe, well, that is bad enough. But then he lost his familiar comforts, including his health. And that is a big blow to all of us, whether we're Christians or not, if our health disappears. Well, he lost his health. He lost his farm animals. He lost his familiar comforts. He lost his friends. Of course, he should have been his friends still, but they were not. In a sense, he lost the faithfulness of his wife. For she looked at him and she said, curse God and die. But he lost his family too. In fact, it seems that apart from his life and his soul, there was nothing that he didn't lose. It was just one thing after another. You've read the words, my complaint is bitter and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. And as you think of Job, his whole life seemed to be swiftly going into decline. And again, we say that trouble seldom comes on its own. Again, if I can look with you in verse 3 of chapter 1, the book of James says there, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, faith and patience do go together. And he says there, but let patience have her perfect work. He's really saying you need to learn patience. And because of the nature of life, that is true for us all. You need to learn patience. But he shows here that the producing of patience is not something that we just decide to have, but rather it comes through trial and through going through trouble and trial. But it also is something which can profit us. I know that that goes against the grain and it goes against our natural reasoning. We think, well, why would we want trial? And what can be profitable in that? Well, he says here in the verse that you may be perfect and entire, the word meaning mature and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, at the end of the day, God is working it all out for your ultimate good. Over there in First Peter and chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, referring to believers, of course. He's just referred to them about all that God has laid up for them in heaven. But he says now in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season begins and it ends. Now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Did you see there that he uses the word manifold? He says, through manifold temptations or trials. Perhaps you know a little bit about that as well. Not only have you had one trouble, but it seems that hard on the heels of the other trouble, another one has come along, or maybe both at the same time. In 1 Peter and chapter 4, this time, over there in verse 10, he says here, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That is the only other place where that same word is used. The word that is used to describe manifold temptations. It is used over here in chapter 4 to refer to the manifold grace of God. Now, you and I can't put a marker on where God's grace terminates, because it is far more abundantly than we can ever imagine. And His grace is great. His grace is very great. And remember, this is the same word. It's referring to God's grace and to His goodness. His manifold grace, it is called. Well, that is the same word that has been used to translate the word manifold, translated the word manifold over in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1, regarding your trials. So we're not speaking lightly of them, brethren and sisters. And we're not looking at them as something that is light and doesn't really matter. Job's comprehensive despair, he was distraught, beside himself, as far as a man is concerned. You remember Joseph, and for many years, how he had troubles one after the other. His siblings resented him. Of course, that is the worst kind of resentment. His own family, people he helped in the prison and in other places, they forgot about him and forgot what he'd done for them. Potiphar's wife, she framed him, got him into trouble, and worry about his family for years would have tormented him, wondering about his father, the rest of his family. But you know, God stood by him. God stood by him, but nonetheless, young Joseph endured trouble after trouble. And sometimes we wish that there was no trouble in the world, but man that is born of a woman, the Bible says, is full of trouble, as the sparks fly upward. And Job had comprehensive despair. Now, as I said, not many are called upon to work to walk this pathway. Just a few weeks ago, I was speaking to a man I know quite well, and I knew that, without going into any detail, that there were difficulties that he was involved with. And I said, "How's things?" And his answer simply was, he just looked at me and says, "Well, Karen, how long do you have?" Lots of problems. Lots of deep troubles. Not frivolous, self-motivated, selfish things, but real deep problems that he had to contend with. And maybe you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. A better day is obscured from you right now, and nobody really seems to understand. But remember our subject today. It is patience. Remember the patience of Job, and remember this patience having its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There is this deep concern that was deep, the comprehensive despair. But finally, there is the covering that was divine. When you read through the chapters of the book of Job, you discover that sometimes there were outbursts by him, and his outbursts were but temporary emotion. "Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave." He was not the last man to feel like that because of his despair. Maybe you've had great hurt. Maybe, like Joseph, friends or family turned their back on you. And just when you needed them, they seemed to tramp on you. That should never, ever happen. It happened for Job. And his friends were his accusers. And perhaps today, you have personal turmoil and frustration, and even the thought of desertion. But remember Job. Job had patience. And I don't know if I said it at the beginning or not, but I'm saying it now. Humanly speaking, Job could not have endured. No man could have endured what he endured and come out on the other side in victory. It was God and all of God. And you read chapter 42 in the book of Job, and you will see what the Lord did for him, how the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Change came for Job. And change comes still. And I want to say in honesty to you, it can come for you. If change in circumstances doesn't come, then you will get more grace. If change in circumstances doesn't come, then you will get more grace. And you and I will be like Job all along. Even though his so-called friends sought to have him think that he was a hypocrite and he deserved all he was getting, that he was full of sin and that he hadn't walked with the Lord, all of the time he had the Lord's hand upon him. He had a covering that was divine. And right now, wherever you're sitting listening to me, you have that covering as well. And in your circumstances, perhaps you, like me, you're aware of the pandemic and you know a lot of what's going on, but that's not your major concern. You have other ones. Deep concern. Maybe comprehensive despair. Props have fallen away around you. And you really need patience at this time. Well, James, for good reason, says ye have heard of the patience of Job. And in the end, you know, it says that in all of this, all that happened, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I wonder today, can we say, should we say, Job, what a man? Or should we look at Job and say, what a God Job had? Isn't that the way we say it? What a God Job had. And let us pray today, not just for ourselves, but for those that we know of who are going through valley experiences, for those who are suffering, yes, as a result of the pandemic, those who have heavy burdens to carry, and ourselves, if we have deep concern, let's be done with lesser things. And if we have deep concern, let us cry to God for patience. And I trust that the Lord will take his word today and write it upon every heart for his name's sake. Amen.